What up, beautiful people? It's your boy Nate Jackson. This is another episode of I'm not sure what the hell this is called. And that's what it's called right now, because I'm not sure what the hell this is called. Which bothers and irks the shit out of Keela. Last week's episode actually had a name, had a title. I don't know what this one is. It's almost like we're just calling it the wrap. You know what I'm saying? It's the wrap-up of the week. It's like a an audio diary. It's a come along with me. It's a listening journal where you can see what in the hell's going on, because we gotten to the point now where people are curious. They want to know, what is Nate doing outside of these videos? And I'm here to tell you, it's going down.
That's a fact.
I'm here in Philadelphia, confused. I'm actually not even in Philly. That's how much shit is popping. I'm in Richmond, Virginia, doing the Richmond Funny Bone. We have 6 sold out shows, and I just want to give you guys an update. And so the first episode I did, I was in Montreal with, I was in Philly talking about Montreal with Heath, and now I'm in Richmond about to talk about Montreal with Keela, and then we're going to talk about Philly, where Keela wasn't, but you guys are just going to, you're going to listen and be voyeurs, and just, I'm going to tell you about it, and Keela, feel free to ask whatever. But the first thing I want to know, what was on my mind, I want to know, what was your perspective of Montreal? Since we went there as a full team.
So that was my first time in Canada, period. And then being at a comedy festival. And so I didn't have any expectations going in. And so Heath and I, we got there first, walking around the city, getting up. We didn't see anything set up just yet. We didn't see things set up until you arrived. And when you arrived, it was like, okay, let's all group and, you know what I mean, figure out what's going on. And then people just started to stare. And then...
Stare
at you. You know what I mean? Kind of like, who is that? Do I know that person? You know, you would get a couple looks. And then when the...
This is the kind of thing I'm not aware of.
Yes, yes. I was recording.
So Keela, basically, she's recording and trying to document the experience for behind-the-scenes vlog footage and stuff that we're going to be launching on the Patreon. And... every angle that she has is like fly on the wall, candid, because I get into my own world and I'm not even, and she's like, I'm catching all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
So you're telling me people were staring at me?
Yes. So, and I think because there were so many like celebrities, comedians and stuff in the city, they were just trying to see who
they're trying
was.
To place me. Like he's somebody, he's got a team. Yes. So who is he?
Yeah. Okay. And I mean, you look good. And you know what I mean? We looked like a force walking down the street. And so it was like, okay, who is this? And I had a camera. So it was really like, who is
you
this?
You saw how nobody else had a team?
Right. Nobody.
And I knew what I was doing.
You did.
I said, we going deep.
You did.
I'm going to spend this money, but we going to be out there like a little army.
It worked perfectly. It felt like the Hollywood Improv. Like, what y'all don't know is that Nate's mind is always working, and it's always working with different angles. And so what you did at the Hollywood Improv in the showroom, amazing. And that's what this reminded me of.
Oh, you mean like the lobby?
Lobby, yep. We had that bitch packed.
Right. So here's a quick insight, right? Like my own team was concerned about whether or not I would be able to sell out shows at the Hollywood Improv.
Not me.
I could not get into just for laughs. I was like, well, listen, we need to do something in Hollywood and shake up some shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took the Hollywood Improv, and my goal was to do 2 shows at the very least. And the reason I wanted to do 2 shows is because I understood how that venue was set up. I know that when you walk into the venue, there's a front foyer and a bar, and then you walk down a small hallway into the showroom. So when shows end, everybody from the show exits out into the foyer, trying to get their cars from valet, trying to get one more drink. And then the next show, if there is another one, they're also in the foyer waiting to try and figure out how do we get into the showroom. They're ordering a drink before. You know, there's merch being sold, and I knew that if I was able to sell out 2 shows, that middle spot right in between the 2 shows was going to look pandemonious.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted my team to invite as much industry as they knew out. Every casting director that ever saw me, every meeting I've ever had, every executive that they had personal relationships with, every booker, just so that it was a fantastic showcase essentially for me, right? Because I couldn't get JFL. I was like, well, if they're all going to go to Montreal, what can I do in Hollywood that will bring them here? Because this is 5-6 miles from everybody's house.
Yep.
And it happened. Royally, it happened.
Yeah, you did that.
Like, the only way to stand in that lobby was to stand on the stairs to the upstairs green room. And that's exactly what happened. There was five or six just, you see, industry people just to get above the people who came to the show just to have the conversation, industry level conversations. They had to stand on the stairs. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, I'm out selling out of shirts, which I made sure to not have so many that I didn't sell out. Like, I was like, I only want 50, like just 50.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, I sold out. They're like, you sold out. Like, there was the line of people before and after. So if that's what you're saying, you say my mind is always yes. working. Got it. But yes. I just knew from my own experience, like it can be so busy that it's just crazy, or it can be busy and crazy and planned.
Yes.
And I was like, let's just try to mastermind this just a little bit.
No, you did that. You set it up. And so that's what this felt like to me as well. And so walking around the city and having people stop you and tell you that they wanted to come and see you in the States, even though you were right down the street, I was just like, okay.
Yeah, that happened. We were walking back from getting some food, and there was a brother that stopped me. Like, first he walked by,
mm-hmm.
and he looked at me for like the last That's five steps looks. Before passing me. I noticed that, mm-hmm. but you're talking about just like other people staring. So then he's like, we wait at the crosswalk to cross, and he comes back. He's like, excuse me, I'm sorry, are you, I'm like, yeah, I'm him. And he was like, Nate Jackson? I'm like, yeah. He was like, dude, can we take a picture? I'm like, yeah, for sure. So we get a picture. And then I'm like, well, dude, I'm here performing. I got three shows. He was like, yeah, forget all that. I'm coming to the States. Me and my girl are going to come to the States. I'm like, bro, you live in Montreal. I came all the way to Montreal. And you're telling me, fuck that. You're going to take a trip to come down to the States?
He's spending money.
He's like, nah, me and my girl, we leaving here. Yeah. This is home for us. Yeah, you're traveling, but this ain't... Like, he was literally like, yes. Nah, we want to see you down there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow.
Yeah, so that was that first part of it. And then there was Surrounded. When we went to Surrounded. That was another level to see you in, like the level of professionalism, you know, you putting input into the show beforehand, which a lot of people had input, but it was, you know, I was listening and more paying attention to you. And so just to see how people worked with you, you're just very natural in that environment. And then later on that evening when the actual show went on,
mm-hmm.
and you were at the end of it, mm-hmm. you headlined it. It was like, this show was made for you. Like, who is doing crowd work in a way that is right off the top of the dome, no matter who's in the room, and then you're playing to a virtual audience that you don't even know is there? It was masterful. And so that was really good to see. And I knew watching you from the green room that it was like everything was different. And when you walked out of that venue, everything was different. Even walking to the next spot, the next venue that you had, and then when you were outside of there, just people gathering, wanting to talk to you, wanting to take pictures. I mean, from 16, 17-year-olds to, I think you were talking to like a couple that was in their 70s.
I was.
You were, and so it was
I think it's legitimate to say that set was a catalyst.
Yep.
Right? Like,
yep.
And when I say a catalyst, I mean it was like a moment that yes. changed things, okay? Because... yes, there's a lot of followers, and yes, there's a lot of love and energy and support
mm-hmm.
online, but you guys have to understand the industry doesn't necessarily respect that energy that's coming online.
Yep.
And it's not because of me, and it's not because of the platforms. It's because they've had acts that have had followers that have had energy before, and they come up and they perform, and then they don't necessarily deliver.
Yes.
Maybe the opportunity is too big, or they're concerned about language barriers, or... whatever it may be, maybe they were tired. I have no idea, but they didn't necessarily connect with the audience to where people who saw them live were like, I don't get it. Like, yeah. Why is there so much energy online for them?
Yeah.
Well, I rocked, which basically, on top of it basically said, oh, he's real. He's a real deal, right? Yes. The followers are there. The sold out shows are there, and he's actually funny.
Yes.
And it wasn't just a random show, and it's worth note that. When you come up in comedy, the only time that you're going to be on shows, you know, as you guys, if you get more serious and more paid as a professional comic, the only time you're on shows with multiple comics on the same show where people could actually compare you to other levels of talent is usually comedy competitions, mm. right? And there's even a time during that where you outgrow doing comedy competitions, unless you just want to see if you still got it or mm-hmm. whatever. The only other time as you grow in your career is TV tapings. Right. Okay. So when I did Def Jam, everyone's watching everyone
because
mm-hmm. you want to know who ripped. And then yeah, like who hit the hardest. You know, you can see the standing ovations and all. You're like, damn, I got to go right. Like some people just make you need to go to work.
Right.
And this was one of those things, but this was very different than Def Jam, that it wasn't just like an all-urban showcase. Like Felipe Esparza, Brad Williams, Marlon Wayans, Fortune Feimster, Sam Morril, Rosebud Baker. Like, these are people who have been, you know, really getting to the bag for a few years now. These are people who, like, were finalists on Last Comic Standing and did well on AGT, and they're touring right now. They're all over the world. Mm-hmm. And then there's little old me. And they fucking around and let me go last. And in a show where it's crowd work and they want you to build off of whatever crowd work was already done before you, essentially everyone who goes later in the show should be stronger than the people before them because they have more information.
Right.
Well, I was dangerous with that.
Yes.
Because I saw every interaction that happened before me, and then I also got to just watch and look at the crowd before I walked out.
Yeah.
Which I don't get to do that now. They introduce me on stage. I walk out. That's my first time seeing audience members. I'm looking at and assessing and figuring out who I think is looks like what or whatever. This gave me over an hour to look at the screen and just, like, think of little tags and jokes and things. So then when I got in there and started circling around, I had something for damn near everybody in that room.
Mm-hmm. Let's not ignore what he just said. He said he goes out on stage, and that's the first time he sees the audience, and he can still rip it like that. Like, for those of you who's been on the tour so far, starting in January to now, you already know how he does. Every show is different. There are those of you that come in, come to multiple shows, even after seeing him in the first show, and you're like, nah, I gotta go back and get some tickets for the next show.
And it'd be different.
You know, and so that is, there's a difference in those who, you know, you could prepare and all that, but the reason why I think you sparked and that was the catalyst is because this is a natural thing. This is something that's just in you. I could set you up with 10 people right now, and you will rip these 10 people. You know what I mean? And you'll have your jokes in between there. You'll be able to assess the situation. That's just your mind, and that's what makes a difference. You shined at Surrounded.
And what you just said is what people saw.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, he's the real deal.
This is it.
Right? So then we did that. And it was almost like they set me up to see what I had. Mm-hmm. Because I went straight from the TV taping, which was all crowd work, and then to a late show called The Midnight Surprise, which was material.
Yep.
And I did both.
Yep.
And oddly enough, a lot of the people that were at the Midnight Surprise were also people who were in the audience from the taping.
Yeah,
I noticed that. I looked out and saw people. I was like, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But y'all made the same crazy-ass walk as I did.
Yes, but it's not even like this was the TikTok crew that comes through to your shows. These were people who are fans of comedy.
Yeah, they had, like,
you know what I mean? It wasn't like these were Nate Jackson
festival pass holders and shit. Yeah.
This was not a cheap festival. And so for you to go into a crowd who some people may not even know you and get the laughs that you did.
Got that W out of there.
Hello.
But as somebody who watched that from your perspective, from from the candid fly on the wall perspective, that was a catalyst.
Yes. No, I knew things were different.
Because I felt energy from the moment I landed.
Okay.
Like, I was like, we're at JFL, let's fucking do this shit, right? But then I did feel like the level of respect and appreciation for me went up right after that taping.
Right after that taping.
Because the people who picked, who did, which I said on the first episode, but it's worth reiterating, but the people who picked the acts that would perform on Surrounded were not the same people who picked the acts who were allowed in the festival. Okay. And where it overlapped is how you were able to do both.
Okay.
Okay? So I was given the Surrounded set, and then the other two sets were caveat. You know what I'm saying? And so the catalyst happens.
Mm-hmm.
What did you notice was the change in energy?
Number one, my energy went up. But then, so the setting is after we finished with that Midnight Surprise, that's when you were able to go back to the hotel and, you know, sit outside and really interact with the other comics because all of you were staying at the same place. Really, the industry had a hotel that they were staying at.
Yes, every year everybody stays at the
Doubletree.
Yeah, Doubletree right there in Montreal. And so I don't know how many floors that they have reserved, but that's where the party and all the networking is in the bar there. And then, like, on the low, like, that sidewalk outside that hotel is volcanically hot for deals, connections, networking, bookings.
Yeah.
Because half the club owners in America want to come out and smoke a cigarette or a joint or something.
Yes.
So everyone is in front of this building.
Yes.
Not to mention when the party's too hot and you just need some air. So now you got 100 people standing on the street and everybody is doing something.
Another way where his mind works differently. So when we walk up, he's like, we're not going inside. we're going to sit out here. We're going to be on the side because this is where everybody's coming out. And so.
And coming in.
And coming in. You knew that already.
Because if you go to the hotel bar,
we were gonna sit up.
They may walk in
and
go to the elevator and you never saw them in the bar.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't get in or out that building without going past where we were.
Nope. And
I knew that.
That was what I saw.
And I was like, this is going to be our office. Like, people were literally walking up being like, dang, have you been out here all night? I'm like, absolutely not. But this is where I'm at.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be easily accessible for whoever wants to assess me.
Now, when I saw the crowd of people, and these were not fans. These were people in the industry. These were your peers. These were, you know, you held a court of people, maybe like 15, 20 people. And it was just, it was great to watch because I'm that type of person. I can do those types of things. But to see you do it on that level, because I haven't been able to be on the road with you where you've been around your peers, this many people.
Right.
So just to watch that, I was in amazement because it's like, he knew this. He already thought about it. He knew what we were about to do, and now it's happening.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Now it's happening. And it was just like a bunch of handshakes and, you know what I mean, laughing and people really listening intently on what are you doing? You know, the amount of questions of, like, I'm on the side, you know, trying to give him his space and everything, but even I was getting questions. What are y'all doing? You know, how are you getting this? Yeah, like, how are y'all getting this success? What is happening here? What can I do
here?
Was
that you that told me, you said you were standing with Jay Phillips, and he was like, he's holding court.
Oh, yeah. Jay Phillips was like, I have never seen somebody hold court like this. And I looked, and I was like, okay. Like, this is different.
To me, I was sitting there. We had walked 50,000 steps.
Mm-hmm.
My right knee that I had hurt in football and then re-agitated doing a step show, like an old knee injury,
mm-hmm.
with my meniscus. I'm throbbing at the knee, okay? My knee
we
all
were
big.
Working.
I had to lean back and just like massage my knee, like, oh, yeah.
Yep.
That was so much walking. Like, I, for real, it was like a 5K.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would imagine looking at that looked like, you know, I'm surrounded in comedy club owners, bookers, theater owners, theater promotion companies, and I'm laying down rubbing my knee.
Yeah.
That probably looked crazy.
It didn't. It did not look crazy. It looked like.
To Jay, that probably looked crazy. He's like, this nigga's laying down.
He didn't say anything about you
no,
laying
but they,
down.
Like,
but
they have so much opportunity. Like, any comic standing there would be like, man, can I please? Like, just give me shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, God damn it, they all want this nigga. Like, I've been that person. I've been the one to the side going, God damn it. If they just watch me, I can do the same gigs.
So what do you think was different then? And, you know, was it just the fact that you performed? Because I don't know if you're a different person than you were when you came to previous JFLs. I think
I'm the same person, but they didn't know. I never had an opportunity to show them who I was on a level that they would appreciate, right? Because they know and love all the names.
Mm-hmm.
Those people are already on.
Right, right.
I mean, Donnell Rollins.
Yeah.
We love Donnell Rollins. I love Donnell Rollins.
I know, he's so nice.
On the same show.
Lil Rel. I got
was the host of all of them.
I know.
That's my boy.
And he was like, listen, Lil Rel talked to me. Look, y'all. Lil Rel pulled me aside, and we had a personal conversation about Nate Jackson, and I was just listening.
Well,
my ears were
tell
wide
me?
Open.
What the fuck?
Well,
why do I
got
to hear this
said,
now? And
I
matter
know,
of
right?
fact, tell me this one and whatever the fuck else happened.
So he was like, Nate, I have to get him on, what is it, the
Variety
Top 10?
Right.
He said, and I don't do favors. That's not how I do this. When I see something that's real, I make sure I tell people about it. And so he has connections to the top 10. He's like, I'm definitely putting Nate Jackson's name in the hat for that.
That's insane.
Yeah. It was great. And just all the positivity, people being like.
He mentioned that to me. And he was getting, you know, he was in hair and makeup. And I was like, man, I came to the door all humble. You know, Rail, sorry to interrupt. But genuinely.
Yes.
Man, thank you.
Yeah.
Because that's not nothing to take lightly. Like somebody saying, hey, I'm going to extend the fruits of my hard work and effort and relationships so that you can have, basically to create a blessing.
Yes.
That's what that's what all of this shit is about. It's about the relationships. So I would say that's the difference between before and now, right? So maybe, even though I say I'm the same person, my skill set, timing, and confidence in freestyling or whatever may be at just a different place entirely, where it's like, you know, I'm in a sweet spot right now.
Yes, yes.
What I'm thinking is like, man, that set was all right. People are, there's still 120 people in line trying to buy a shirt. Like, nah, we drove 9 hours and this was worth it.
Yep.
I'm like, okay.
Yep.
You don't know what I intended to do and what we did do, but whatever.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You went for 50. You know what I mean? I'm a basketball player, so you went for 50.
Right, right.
On a bad night. You was like, dang, my knee was hurting. You know what I mean?
Still hit 37, though.
Michael Jordan with the flu type of
thing. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm having flu games.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it was amazing to watch. And so I think that night, everything else was, it was like, okay, I did good, you know, maybe you were, it was like a combine. I'm such a sports person when it comes to these
analogies. No, that's what it was. It
but
was a
you
combine.
You were at a combine.
An NFL combine.
And after that, you know what I mean?
You got to do all the different events. You got to show your vertical. You got to do your 40.
And you did that shit.
And I was excelling in each little category. Yeah.
Yeah. And they noticed
and
the
most
they
important
needed to talk
category,
to you.
The most important category was being approachable, cool,
yep.
Normal.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? You know how many people are stars and doing weirdos. Too goddamn much? Yeah. Like, I'm just sitting outside chilling.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And it's naturally me. Like, there was a lady from the improv chain. I think she was one of the, she literally is booking.
Yes.
She's booking all of the improvs in the country.
Yep, yep.
And she was ready to, you know, go back to her room and tap out for the night and was going to walk from the hotel we were at around the corner down the block to a different hotel. Right now, Montreal is a beautiful city, but it also has a dark side to it.
Oh, my
and I'm
goodness.
Like, I don't think you need to be walking alone. She's like, oh, it's right there and right there. And I'm like, and could you
the zombies?
Could you text somebody or call somebody and let us know you made it safe? Because if I don't hear that when you say bye to me, if I don't hear you made it in 10 minutes or so, I'm gonna backtrack the same track,
right?
And find your ass,
right?
Or somebody done grabbed you up or whatever. I don't know, but it had dark undertones to the city, right?
Yes,
beautiful
yes.
city. I mean, there's literally rainbows over it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. But there's some shadows too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's every major city. But I was legit concerned. I'm like, ma'am, what do you mean? Like,
yeah.
This she had to be like a 37, 38 year old white woman. Like,
yeah.
She looked very robbable.
Yes.
I'm like, ma'am. So I actually was like, come here, give me your hand. And I just said a prayer, like, you know, Lord, make sure she cover her with travel blessings from just, I know it's a small route from here to there, but just make sure that all that goes safe and sound. Amen. She said amen, and then she went on her way.
Yeah.
She texted somebody.
That
she
was
me. Let you know that she made it.
Yeah, she texted me.
She texted you and said, yeah, and you told me. I was like, all right, cool, because that was a weird choice. Like, to just do that alone in the middle of the dark underbelly of Montreal.
But that's you normally. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm
you
saying.
At
that
the,
that was not inorganic.
Club.
That was me being who I, like, I wanted to make sure. Like, I was like, ma'am, you're cool. No matter what she does as a job.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's, come on now. We're in a foreign country, and you're just like, I'm just going to meander by myself.
Right.
Like, how many stories have you seen on TV where you're like, and then that was the last time we saw her? No. I wanted to make sure she was cool.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, that has been brought up.
Okay.
Because I had a call with my agency, and they were like, such and such from the improv is just tickled by you, man. That apparently you really wanted to make sure she made it home, and I was like, "Well, no, man. Like that was a weird decision to just walk off by yourself in the dark." She left her team, right? She left her team, and then was gonna go by herself. And I just was like, "Listen, we gotta make sure that, short of walking you myself,
right?
Because I'm sitting on the edge
with
of a volcano
team.
Right now. Like it's going down over here.
So
I can't. If I had a clone, I'd be like, bro, walk her.
Yes, yeah,
right." The same we are at the club. When the servers get off late, I'm like, security, walk them to the car. Like, my car's right there. Walk them to the car.
My
you don't
car
know who's
be across
hiding behind
the door.
Something. Somebody could jump
like,
out.
Tequila.
Hey, bitch. Like, no, we're going to make sure we're there with you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And apparently that was a thing. But
nice.
that was what I'm saying is like, yeah, you can show, you can crowd work, you have great thought out material. But it was humanizing.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
They saw you as a
person. They
may
just see me online.
They
may just see like a picture or whatever. And I don't know if I come off as just a big old threatening guy, whatever. But that, like, there was, I guess they just saw my Sears, the softer side.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And
I mean, your real side, that's the thing. On or off stage, you have that presence about you. I haven't seen you be mean or anything like that. Raise your voice. And we've been working together for a while. And so it's like they were able to feel that. And you are personable with any, you don't meet a stranger. And so that's the great thing about you. When you're on stage or you come off stage, you have that same energy about you. And people can just feel that. That's not anything that you can make up.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's why I wanted to know your perspective, because I can only see it through from out of these two eye sockets I got.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So if you're looking at it, that's another angle on it entirely. So I think Montreal was a win.
Yep.
That was dope. So Philly.
What happened? Y'all left me. They didn't want me there. Listen, they wanted a bros weekend.
This shit is expensive, guys. I want to take everybody everywhere, but my God, until it makes sense for me to take on, I mean, for everyone to travel comfortably, stay comfortably, eat comfortably, like they would if it was their own situation, like it probably would cost me. It's four or five people.
Mm-hmm.
That's at least $2,000 a pop, right?
Yeah,
you got to
get
there round trip. You got to get in a hotel. You got these hotels. The hotels ain't $75 a night no more.
Sure,
it'd be $150, $220, and that's for four people. So I don't even want them being like, nah, two of us can stay in one room. Like, I get it. We're in sacrifice mode right now. We're grinding, but like, Heath and Keela were in a room together, and that's a middle aged white man and then an old ass black lady having to survive in the same space. trying to survive in that same space.
I am
space.
27. Okay, thank you very
bet.
Much.
Got it. Yeah, cocaine's a hell of a drug. So Philly was. They're like, you know, I don't know how you guys are picking who's going to do what city, but Philly was Heath, mm-hmm. and you guys know Heath from episode one. Heath is solid, and so I made a point to go to Max's. Right, mm-hmm. Max's is a Philly cheesesteak spot that's in South Philly. It is. Actually, I don't know. We traveled so much. I don't know if I was in North Philly or South Philly. Philly, don't get mad at me. Just know we were in Philly at Max's, and we were in the goddamn hood. Okay? And I've been to this place a couple times before it was, like, before it became, you know, it was famous, but then it became infamous, right? Mm-hmm. Like the way that it went from famous to infamous or popular to just, like, lines outside the street down the corner and people trying to film and take pictures. It is the Philly cheesesteak restaurant that Michael B. Jordan and that they ate at in the movie Creed.
Yeah.
And so people go there and be like, oh, yeah, no, we want to go to the place in Kremlin. Like, no, but nigga, this is the hood, though. Like,
mm-hmm.
don't just come here with that. We saw the movie, we love it energy. Like, these niggas will rob your ass.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they've done a good job of making sure that corner's safe and everything is safe. But Philly right now is pretty hot.
Yes.
Not to drag Philly. Cause I fuck with Philly. Some of my good friends are from Philly. You know,
my sister's out there. Shouts to her.
Naeem, Spank, Clint Coley, hell, Kevin Hart. Them Philly guys. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? And but shit, I don't know what's going on right now, man. I was on Charlie Mack's Instagram, and he was just like, there was like a 4-paragraph prayer, just like trying to fix the city and get everything, get it back under control, because it's so wild right now. Like, what is it, Gilly the Kid?
Yeah.
Gilly the Kid's son just got murdered 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, RIP to him,
yeah. And that is terrible, man. You spent all that time, all that love and energy and hell, money. I'll say it. I know it ain't the best thing to say, but you spent all that money and energy, and then somebody, some ignorant motherfucker, snatches your baby's life. A piece of you is gone. A piece of you didn't even know you had before you had that baby gone. And that happened 2 days before we got to Philly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if y'all know how the hood works, but somebody just ain't finna die, and that's how that ended.
Right.
We're going to find who did it. Mm-hmm. We're going to find who knows who did it. We're going to find the mama of who knows who did it. We're going to get down to the bottom of it. And the way Philly works is the hood knows well before the cops.
Yeah.
They just know.
Yep. Yep.
You might not know the shooter, but you're like, that's Maryland's son.
Mm-hmm.
Maryland from where? And over there from First AME Church or whatever. Like, you know.
Right.
And somebody like a Charlie Mack, who's damn near the unofficial governor, mayor, or whatever of Philly, he gonna know shit like that.
Right.
I'm looking at the post like, damn, is Philly that hot? Because usually Charlie's like on some uplift shit, like we gotta do this. Like he's the one to put together all them brothers that marched.
Yes.
Like I'm talking about this, he is the center, he's one of the heartbeats of the community. And his post didn't have hope in it. His post was like, nigga, Philly's lost. I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Well, here we go into this city.
Yeah.
I really wanna try this Philly cheesesteak. It's probably hot over
worth
there.
It.
But it's a black business, and we got to support each other. So I'm like, let's go over there. So we get over there, and we have a great time. So all that is smooth. Mm-hmm. But I make sure to go during broad daylight. Mm-hmm. And I be trying to teach Heath, like, how to move, because Heath is green than a motherfucker. Mm-hmm. We were in Atlanta, and this nigga hugged a crackhead, bro. You remember that shit?
Yes, I
do. A crackhead walked up, was like, y'all got some money? And he mm-hmm. was like, I don't have any money. Do you need a hug? Mm-hmm. And she was like, I'll take one. So now he's hugging a crackhead in the middle of the fucking underground. And it's so awkward, in fact, that, like, a random security guard is like, hey, yo, nah, man, what are you doing, bro? Yep. Hey, you can't be over here, lady. And she was like, man, fuck all y'all. Like, she twists, she flipped from this sweet needing a hug lady, like, man, I'll stab a motherfucker. Like, right away. I'm like, Heath, you can't be hugging no crackheads, man.
Yeah.
We got to go to these cities and get out unscathed.
That's true.
Oh, yeah, my bad. I just thought, I'm like, listen, we can pray for her, but we're not going to be hugging. We don't know what she got on her, what she thinks you got on you. You look like a whole come up. Hence me praying for the other lady. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what are you doing? You don't, even if she's innocent, you don't know who's watching her. You'd be like, let's see which one of them is soft.
Yeah.
Oh, you hugging her?
Yeah.
Run it. Oh, run it. You ain't got that outside skin you need to be out here. Give me everything you got on you.
Yeah.
Right? So I've seen a lot of life, and it pays to be astute, to have your head on a swivel.
Right.
And so I'll be teaching Heath. You know what I'm saying? When we a lot of these comedy clubs, we should be Ubering from the club back to the hotel.
Right.
Heath prefers to walk.
Yeah.
Well, I can't anymore because my likeness. No.
Yes.
Right. So I'll Uber home at the end of the night, even if it's three streets down, four streets over. It's a quick look. Come on, Nate. Let's just go. No. Nah.
He can't be left alone. We'll get into that when we talk about this city.
Yeah. So, I'm taking Ubers home. And then, so one night we walked because it was two or three of us walking. And I'm walking and I'm looking and I see down the block. I'm not looking right in front of me. I'm looking two, three blocks down. Like, is there a car? Is there a lot of action? Is there a club that just let out? Is there people laying on the ground? You know, because homeless people are going to be wherever they at. I look down there. I see a couple homeless people. They getting their rest. I'm like, we should probably go to the other side of the street, man.
Yeah.
There's no need to just, like, walk by, fuck around, get your Achilles poked.
Yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So he's like, why are we switching sides? The hotel's on that side, the same side. I'm like, man, look, man, we crossing over. Oh, okay. Then we get over there. He's like, So now I've become, like, a little resource for Heath. He's like, so which way do you want to do this? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And Heath, I'm sorry I'm making you sound like that.
Why is he giving you that voice, Heath?
Heath, I don't know what we're doing. I'm sorry, Heath. But I'm just saying. You know, Philly is a beautiful city, but it got a rough Philly. That's the thing. The people, they love fucking comedy. It's a hardworking, solid-ass people that are coming out to have a good goddamn time. They were respectful. It was nobody yelling out or doing no goofy shit. Like, they were just good, solid people. And that's why I always fuck with Philly. You just got to know how to move.
Right.
You just got to know how to move. I don't give a fuck where you at.
Put your head on a swivel.
You in L.A., move away. You in Tacoma, move away. And these ain't even like gangsta ass city. Like, there's just a way you need to be moving. Mm-hmm. The good thing is most of these clubs are in the downtown or more affluent areas or whatever, because that's what they're doing for their business. So you are generally in a safer spot in the first place. But everything changes at night. Right. Fuck what city you're in.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So we went over there to Philly. We call ourselves braving it. Broad daylight. We're over there. You know, I mean, Heath is so... He's awkward. He's standing out.
Right.
He's the only white person in Philly without a beard.
Yeah.
There's white boys in Philly, but they got beards, fresh lineups. Like, hey, yo, oh! Like, they got on Tim's. No.
Yeah.
Heath is wearing sneakers, shorts. His knees are exposed. He's got a black T-shirt on. He's got a chain around that. He's got spiked gray hair. He's got a little mousse in his hair. And he's like, let's see what they have to serve here.
he looked like money.
We're going to get our food, and we're going to get out the way. And Philly, and the way they are at Max's is like, the last time I went, the same guy was on the grill this time. Mm-hmm. The same guy was in the middle doing expo. The same lady was on the register. Mm-hmm. We're like, they have a program, okay? This place is a multi-million-dollar Philly cheesesteak business.
Mm-hmm.
People come in there from wherever they're from with however they behave, however they were raised. They leaning on the glass and shit, and they're like, yo, no leaning.
Yep.
Ain't no excuse me. Yo, no leaning.
Yep.
Hey, man, get your ass up off the grill, fam. You go down to the end, like, you order, you tell them, you first of all, you just stand there. They say, what you want? You tell them, do you want chicken? Do you want steak? Because that's what they're going to throw on the grill. Mm-hmm. The next step, you got to wait like 15 minutes for, because they got to cook it.
Right.
They put it all on the bread, and then they're like, what do you want on it?
Right.
Right? So people walk in and go, oh, let me get a Philly cheesesteak with mushrooms. And they're like, yo, you want steak or chicken, nigga? Like,
you're like,
well, how do you know what else I want? They're like, that's the next step. Like, there's no signs.
Nuh-uh.
You just got to take it. It's the hood.
Mm-hmm.
You order what you order. You work your way down the end. After you say what you want on it, hit their building. It ain't just your order. The whole lobby's full of people lined up against the wall.
Yeah.
You get to the register, and the lady's like, hand me the money.
Yeah.
What else you want to drink?
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. They are all listening to everything.
Yes.
This is their world, and you walked into it. They know what's going on.
Yeah.
So you fold your money up. They're like, unfold your money, please. They don't take it unless it's out. Like it was a lot to see. But on the base level, it was, this is how we do a thing, and you need to be respectful.
Do it that way.
Yeah, it's delicious. Trust me.
Yeah, it's really good. It's outrageous. I went with you the first time we went to Philly when we did that one day show.
Right. Now I'm talking about that to tell you that we talked to a few other people, and they were like, "No, go to Angelo's."
Uh-huh.
Right. So if we were in South Philly, you good, man?
How you doing?
I'm good. You got resting upset face.
No, I was just listening.
Oh, okay. Well, sit down, man. You got to stand like a superhero.
Dun, dun, dun,
dun. Oh, okay. So on one side of Philly is I want to say, and I hate that I don't have that delineation and sort of, because people are gonna be like, "Yo, shut the fuck up, bro." But if you could just think on a higher level and come on with me, one side of Philly's black as fuck. The other side was not black as fuck. So everybody kept trying to send us to the other side, like, "No, you need to go to Angelo's."
Mm-hmm.
Get the pizza, get the Philly cheese, and we got it.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, "Oh, they hollow out the bread, they cook the onions in it, they like it's really just," and we got it. And yes, it was good, but Max's ran laps around this other place. And when I tell you everybody was telling us to go this place, when we got there, the line was legit down the sidewalk.
Yeah,
we ordered, and they were like, "Come back in 45 minutes for your food."
Mm-mm.
Like, 45 minutes? And the one in the hood, my God. And you know what? I've been to Philly cheesesteak. People try to make that shit in other cities. I try. And you know what? I don't know if it's the grill that it's getting cooked on or just the fact that, like, the person that made it, is there a certain amount of taps that they're doing on the ting, ting, tap, ting, tap, tap?
No, you know it's the seasoning.
That's what I'm saying. I'm standing there looking at it. I'm telling you. I've had Go Philly in Tacoma. I've had Phillies in Cali. I've had Phillies at, Jersey Mike's be selling Phillies right there.
I'm just
telling you, it's called the same thing, but it don't taste the same way.
It doesn't. No.
That's all I'm getting at.
They be appropriating the Philly cheesesteak.
That's all I'm getting at, man. So if you got to compare one to the other, I would say Max's. Every time.
Okay.
And I would also say, so Max is, when you order the whole, it's it is maybe 14 inches long and a half is 7 or 8 inches, right?
Yeah.
So we ate.
How much?
Well, we went there when we first got there, as soon as we landed, we went straight there. And I had a hole and Heath had a hole.
Mm-hmm.
So that right there is a foot and a foot.
Yeah.
Okay. So we ate 2 feet.
Worth of
2 feet of Phillies right away,
yeah.
Right? The next day, Heath was like, "I'm going to be honest with you. When we're trying to figure out what we're going to eat, I'm okay with going back and getting another Philly." So we go back, and we know we're going to get a hole each, right? I'm waiting. Somebody said the wrong shit to them because they weren't wrong.
Yeah.
They were mean, but they were right.
Right.
Somebody's like, "Yo, I said no mushrooms." They're like, "No, the fuck you didn't. You walked in here and you was like, I want everything."
Yeah.
Mushrooms is a part of everything.
Yeah.
If you don't know what everything is, don't ask for everything.
Listen.
Ask us, what does everything mean, and we'll tell you. Meanwhile, we done wasted food. We got a half a sub right here.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's there for subs. Mm-hmm. For the Philly. So he's like, "Who wants a half?" I'm like, "You. You give me that half."
That'd be me.
He's like, "You're going to get that instead of the whole?" And I was like, "Nigga, no, this is an addendum too."
Yeah.
So we had 1 foot first day and a foot and a half the next day of these Philly subs, right? It's probably still in me.
Yeah.
Just to let you know. There's remnants still.
Mm-hmm.
But every bite is so goddamn good. All you need is salt, pepper, ketchup. Salt, pepper, ketchup. That's it. And then they got these sweet peppers that Angelo's didn't have. And you put them sweet peppers on there and it just starts crip walking across your goddamn taste buds.
Yeah.
Okay, so when we went to Angelo's, we had to get a hole.
Had to.
So I got a hole and he got a hole.
Yeah.
So that is one hole, two holes, three holes and a half. We had 3.5 feet of Angelo's. Yes. Yeah. It's worse than that. On our way out of town, we're like, "Yo,
why are you putting a Philly cheesesteak?
One for the road."
You're stuffing.
So
when
we
you get
ate
out of
4.5 feet of Philly cheesesteaks together. We ate that much, right? But for me, like I was eating it at 1 o'clock. And then I wouldn't eat the other half until after the show or whatever. But just know, almost every meal that I had that was an entree was the same sandwich.
A daggone Philly cheesesteak.
And we wouldn't have went back that last time if Angelo's had held it down.
Okay.
But it was a miss for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a miss for Heath, which I thought was interesting because I thought he was going to be like, no, I actually kind of I like that one. No.
Yeah.
He was like, nah, can we go back to the other one? Yeah. So we had to fix it. We couldn't leave town and have
you
Angelo's be the worst thing. No. And there's people listening to this going, don't you dare talk about Angelo's.
Oh, they're
like
going to be mad.
But
we'll
I'm
going
to tell you right now,
comments.
Take your ass to Max's. Stop being worried about going to that other side of town and take your ass over there. Broad daylight and go get you one.
Yeah.
So definitely Max's for anybody near Philly. Like, just do that.
Who featured for you in Philly? Same guy?
Yeah, the cool white guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah, he was cool.
I like him. He got a little swag to him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We saw some crazy stuff in Philly. We came out of the show the first night, and there was, like, cops on the street. Was it the first night? I think it was the last night. And there was, like, an SUV parked on the street, and then there was, like, a cop car, and there was, like, two or three cops standing out there. And I was like, yo, something going on outside the front of the comedy club? And they're like, nah, it's down the street a little bit. Like, they knew what was going on. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, what's going on? They're like, yeah, they just did a bust. I'm like, oh, you got a drug house down there? He's like, no, it's not a drug house. It's an all-male bathhouse. I'm like, I'm sorry, what?
What?
So I step outside, and people are like, let me go. Let me the fuck go.
Oh, my God.
Fuck you, you fucking motherfucker. Let me go. Let me go. Let him go. Let Travis go. It was going down out there.
Shit.
There was a lot of vibrant personalities.
Yeah.
Very upset at the police.
Were they naked? Because I'm imagining them in, like, boxers.
They were robed up.
Like, kind of.
People had on robes.
Okay.
And then, like, there was two people wearing robes. Sweaty. There was one person trying to, like, you know, like, command the situation and be, mm-hmm. like, the captain talking to the cop. But then on the other side of it was like, you know, there was customers that were like, I mean, just let me go. Just let me get up out of here, man. I got a family, man. Let me get home. So
what worried about your family before?
Shit, it was full on going down over there. You hear
okay.
me? And it just looked like a regular house because it was like house, this place, house. So you wouldn't know. So it was, you know, and I just thought that was worth mentioning. That was nuts. Speaking of the feature, this guy was plugged in the city, man. He had a friend of his that owned a shoe store.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called Suplex Shoes. And we went over there just, you know, it was near Angelo's.
Mm-hmm.
So we went to Suplex Shoes, and God damn, they had every kind of shoe. They had all the, like, every little employee was like the little cool little Asian kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
All decked out.
Decked out wearing streetwear with the low cut. Yeah, little sneakerhead kids, mm-hmm. man. They knew it. They knew what they had. And every shoe on the wall was like nuts. They had shit that I tried to get and couldn't get. And just for a second, we need to talk about how hard it is to buy some goddamn shoes.
That's another conversation.
That the company's trying to sell you. Like, literally, you can use the app. It tells you it's going on sale. It's 7:01 in the morning. And can we talk about that?
It's a racket.
Why the fuck is it at 7:01 in the morning? Put it at 10 a.m. so people are up. You got to get up at 6:30 to be well-rested, to make sure your card is in there. And then at 7, literally, when you watch your iPhone clock in the corner, when that bitch says 7, you're like, bye. And then it goes, just wait. We'll let you know if you got your
you
shoes.
You know that's them, right? You
what
know
you
it's
mean,
a racket.
Wait to let me know I got you. And then a new message pops up. It's like, got them.
Mm-hmm.
If you got them. Other ones are like, aw.
Yep. And is it because the bots? But they are doing it to the customer. That's the thing. The bots are doing it. And then the companies themselves, they own that aftermarket. If we really want to talk.
So it's like platinum ticketing.
Yes.
They scalping themselves.
Yes, they are.
So them Tiana Taylors came out, and they only sold 30 pairs, and then was like, listen, now you can get this same shoe for $330.
I ain't talking about Tiana like that, but yes. that's what's happening. We can say Taylor Swift, she's buying her own tickets and putting them out there, allegedly.
Well, listen.
For $1 million.
All I know is, holy shit, it's hard to get some new shoes.
It is.
And I remember there were these shoes called Prom Nights, right? Jordan 11's patent leather. But instead of it being like the normal leather, like these were like, they had like a satin a black suede on a black patent leather with black shoelaces that came at the end of it. Instead of like the metal tip or plastic tip that's on a normal shoelace, it was a graduation tassel on each one.
Oh, look at that.
And God damn it, I stayed up. And I stayed up all night long. I got in late at like 4, and I was like, if I lay down, I'm going to miss it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to force myself to stay up 3 more hours so that 7 o'clock, when my clock says 7, I can buy these goddamn pumps. And it said 7, and I said, buy. And then it was like, I walk into this shoe store. He's got Prom Nights on the shelf.
Oh, shit.
Used. super gently used. Maybe somebody tried them on and was like, all right, let me just walk over there and walk back. $425 used. And I was like, how much are these new? And he was like, if you had some unworn prom nights right now, $725 easy. Wow. You'd probably get $1,000.
Yeah.
And I was like, God damn.
Did you get them?
Not only did I get them, the feature had talked to the owner of the spot and was like, yo, Nate Jackson's coming. Just have him do a drop or whatever and then show him some love.
Yeah.
Some love was them giving me the prom nights for free.
Oh, snap.
And they were like, do you want it? You see anything else you want? And I was like, look, man, yes, but I can't pack anything else.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not about to ship half my shit just now. So I will, if you would oblige me to let me have these, you don't even know. Like, there's a story behind how bad I wanted them and I couldn't get them. And so now I have. And I wore them yesterday for the first time.
Nice.
And most shoe heads would be like, nigga, why are you wearing them?
Mm-hmm.
But shoes are made to be worn.
Mm-hmm.
So I wears my shit.
Yeah.
So I had them all.
Yeah.
And I felt like $1 million in them goddamn shoes. So
nice.
Thank you and shout out to Suplex Shoes. If you're in Philly, I can't tell you what side of it is, but I know it's near Angelo's, couple blocks down, couple blocks over. And make sure you check out Suplex Shoes. They have it. They got everything that you know about and they got shit you don't know about. They had textures and patterns and fur and they had it going on.
Mm-hmm.
And the shoes are all on display on the wall and then for men on the left and women on the right. And then they have a whole case of just like very hard to find shoes. And then if you ask them, they go in the back and unlocks a safe or something.
Oh, they got some
and pull out shit that like, you know, Obama wore these. Okay. Like that's how lit this place is. So check out Suplex Shoes.
So you couldn't really pack everything. You couldn't get more shoes because Mitchell and S maybe? Because your little shopping spree there?
Yeah, let's talk about that too. So if you've been watching me, you know I'm wearing a bunch of jerseys, and I think I found my lane as far as what I'm going to wear.
Oh, yeah.
And we went to Philly. I had a Sunday show at 3 o'clock. I was out here. I was in the area for to showcase at APCA, which is a college organization. It's how colleges book comics. And so I showcased at that, and then I did a couple cities, and then we had one Sunday with nothing, and I was like, yeah, let me do Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And I could have done probably four shows then, but I could only do, it was like a 3:30 on a Sunday because they had already booked the 5 o'clock, 7 o'clock. That club is booked very well.
Yeah.
And so we went by Mitchell and Ness. We tried to set up a personal shopping session and just have them pull all the 4Xs and everything they had. And when we got there, they had one 4X, and then I couldn't buy anything but hats. Mm-hmm. And they were just trying to get me to buy 2Xs and 3Xs. And I'm like, I don't understand. Like, you know my sizes. I can't wear none of this.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very disheartening because not only did I set it up, but now I set it up, sat with them, and I just found out that I'm too fat for all their shit. Okay. Like, God damn.
Yeah.
And they make up to 6X, but it doesn't make sense for them inventory-wise to carry it. So I didn't feel I didn't feel like they were wrong for not having it. I felt like they were wrong for being like, yeah, we'll do a personal shopping session and not having shit on hand. And they had 2 or 3 weeks notice. Like, whoever did have it, it could have been in store.
Right.
Right. If I was important enough.
Yeah.
So I felt like, oh, I'm not important.
Okay.
And that's the worst thing they could have done. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If I'm supposed to be a VIP, if I'm going to be wearing your stuff and posting it on platforms for up to millions. 20 million people to see, like, that's better than running a goddamn Michelin-esque commercial.
100%.
We're doing Super Bowl numbers now.
Yes.
Can I just get a couple jerseys in this bitch?
Yeah.
Everyone's asking in the comments, where are the jerseys from? Where are you getting your jerseys from? Where are the jersey?
Yeah.
So the company took a hit during COVID, because I remember the last time I went years ago, after I did Wildin' Out, they had, like, this humongous flagship store with, it was like they had a downstairs and upstairs, and you had to go up a ramp, and they take you around to the back and open a big double-door locked closet for, like, the Jordan authentic, like, jerseys he wore in games. And so, but this now, it's still, you know, the store's still decadent, but it's not the same. Like, even the hockey section is like 1/5 of the size it used to be. Basketball is half of the size it used to be. Football is nowhere near the size it used to be.
Right.
And so, you know, but this time coming in, we reached out ahead of time and they actually had some more stuff. I don't know if we just caught them.
Yeah, I think we caught him. They probably learned from that last.
That was and I was just in there sad too.
Yeah, yeah.
So they had four or five things that I could wear that were 4X, and then they had an oversized 3X, which I was very excited about. And I was like, "This is so clean. I'm just gonna go to the gym until I can wear it." Like, it's a Bo Jackson authentic throwback Chicago where it says Chicago across the chest, and then the back says Jackson. Come on, man.
Yeah, I'm gotta get it.
Not only is Bo Jackson one of the goats, and I already fucked him because he was a two-sport monster. But shit, it's the same last name, so it looks like it's a custom jersey for me.
Hard.
So I got all that, got the hats to match, and then got up out of that. So special shout out to Mitchell and Ness for getting it right this time, or right-ish. They gave a discount, so I appreciate that. I can't wait for the hall that we've actually set up with. I think LA Corporate.
Yes.
Yeah. So. If it comes through, like I went on their website and just like anything that was 4X that I thought was cool that I could color coordinate, and we're going to, somebody at LA Corporate gets that we're doing Super Bowl numbers, and we're going to do that. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be a big enough person wearing it that I'm like a catalyst to get it like back to where people are like, yo, I got to go get jerseys again. But I remember AI was at one point. Like, that's what made throwbacks pop. And there's no reason why they shouldn't be popping again. Correct. Women are wearing bell bottoms, and that's from a whole nother time.
Yes. No, they're wearing House of Derry on again. I think you can.
They're wearing House of Derry. Yeah, I seen a DJ wearing a fresh FUBU jersey.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, FUBU, like, you know, they have some stuff.
I get it, but it literally was like the OG 05 for you, buy you across the back. I'm like, yo.
Yeah.
Where you get that from? You're like, you know what I'm saying? I got my connects, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you can find something like that, that's dope, and like, and that's what this is, right? And then for me, for the jerseys, like, yeah, I'm just trying to fit anything 4X, but most of the players that they are even have in production were stars. Like, I actually knew them, appreciated them. I remember plays they made, stuff they did. And so it's exciting to be like, yeah, I'm going to wear this John Kruk. Yes.
You know, and you know why. Like, you
I'm not even necessarily a Phillies fan, but I fuck with John Kruk. He would literally, he was an outfielder, and he was a first baseman, and he would be on the field drunk.
Yeah.
But not fucking up. Like, he was a dope-ass player. He was like the John Daly of baseball. Kruk was something else to behold, man. He had, like, a mullet and a gut, and he was the face of the field. Like, the whole city of Philadelphia was like, he's one of us. Like, that's how he looked. He carried himself like a hard-working municipality worker, but he was a fucking superstar baseball player.
Yeah,
man, I like that kind of shit. So yeah, I'm wearing the Kruk.
And you get shots out in the city because I think you wore that in Montreal, right?
Yeah, yeah. Philly and people you like, were, go Phils. Oh yeah, go Phils.
You were getting shout outs.
But my affinity isn't towards the teams. My affinity is towards the players.
Yeah,
and I had to say that last night because I wore Brian Dawkins' jersey on stage here in Richmond, Virginia. Who I don't think even has a basketball team, but a football team here. Like, they have to go, they have to like the Washington Commanders. There was like Cowboys fans. All they knew
Who's
was
the Washington Commanders.
That's the old Redskins. They got the new name so they don't,
Lord have mercy.
Hurt the Native Americans to show respect. And so, say that to say, they either love the Eagles or they hate the Eagles, right? Because the Eagles won the Super Bowl last year, but then this year they lost.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came out in Brian Dawkins, like, people were like, yeah, and other people were like, boo. Yeah. And I'm like, it's just a jersey. People can't wrap their mind around that,
no.
man. I'm like, this is a Brian Dawkins thing. This has nothing to do with the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I say that is because why I say my mentality on it, and I think other people should probably consider that too, is because when these guys are coming out of college, right, they're star players, they're superstars. If they even stopped in college, right, they sit there and they pick their team. They're sitting at a table grabbing hats and saying, oh, I'm going to play for this people. Or they're in a raffle, for fuck's sake, and the teams are just coming out and saying who they're going to. Like, them, they don't care who they playing for. They just want to play.
Right.
Right? Furthermore, look at legendary players, the ones that are your favorites, whoever you love, right? Let's say Deion Sanders is your guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Deion played for multiple teams.
Right.
So do you be like, I want Falcons Deion? Do you want 49ers Deion?
Right.
Right? Jerry Rice played an entire career as a San Francisco 49er. Everybody loved him as a 49er, but towards the end of his career, they let him go.
Yeah.
And he went and played a couple more seasons elsewhere. Jerry Rice was a goddamn Seattle Seahawk before it was all done. Okay?
Yeah.
I love Marshawn Lynch. Love the Seahawks. But Marshawn didn't stay at the Seahawks. Marshawn went and played for the Raiders.
Right. Yeah.
So am I an avid Raiders fan? If the colors fit what I'm trying to do with my outfit.
Right.
Do I fuck with Marshawn? Anywhere he goes.
Yeah.
Any team, he can't do no wrong in my eyes.
Yeah. And that's why from a branding perspective, Mitchell and Ness needs to fuck with you because, you know, you're on stage. You're able to speak to these things. You have your podcast. You can elaborate more on the uniqueness of any jersey that you wear, any hat that you wear. You tie them together. You fit it with the shoes.
Right. And if my thought process spreads,
yes,
then you'll be selling Seattle Seahawks merchandise to avid Philly fans.
Yep. Yep.
They may be looked at as a traitor or whatever, but you gonna be fresh to death.
Yeah, these new kids, they don't care about that.
They care less.
their minds are a little bit bigger than
they're following
just their
the
city.
Designers.
Yes,
right. And that's another dope thing that Michelin has. I got a Raptors hat and some Raptors shorts that were made by a specific designer, and I'm like, yo, this is just a cool ass combo. Mm-hmm. It literally says like it's like a logo flip. It says Raptors across the whole front. Mm-hmm. It actually has like a zippered pocket that's made out of dope ass material. I'm like, I want these.
Yeah.
Right? I want these. Yeah. They had a rack of them, and I'm like, which ones can I fit? Mm-hmm. Raptors is the one I could fit. Cool. Let me get a matching hat.
Yeah. Right, and now you're not limited, especially as a bigger guy in the sizes that you need. You're not limited to a Seattle's, design.
You got
to
open it up, man. Yeah. So yeah. If y'all could deal with that, deal with that. But that's what I would recommend because I have loyalty to teams, right? To the players.
Yeah.
And I'll give two more examples of that. One, Barry Sanders, right? So there's people who are Lions fans, and they just love the Lions, diehard Lions. And then when Barry Sanders was there, they loved them. Barry Sanders walked off the field in the third quarter and left the team himself. So oh, you're shit. Not a Barry Sanders fan no more?
Yeah, yeah.
He's still a GOAT.
Right.
Here's another example. As a kid who grew up in Pacific Northwest, naturally, I was exposed to the most, as far as teams go, is to the Seattle Supersonics.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking Sean Kemp, Rain Man, Gary Payton, the glove, Detlef Shrimp pulling up from the corner, Nate McMillan. Like, these guys were squad. And in the middle of the night, they sold the team to the Oklahoma City and made them the Thunder.
Yeah.
Now, what do we do with all? Now, all of a sudden, you bought a jersey on a Monday. They move the team Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday, yo shit is throwback.
Yeah. Wow.
This is a throwback, Kevin Durant. No, I just bought this.
Right.
Right. Why? Because the owners were like, nah, let's get a bag for the whole squad. Yep. Like they're legitimately liquidating assets when they move a team from a place to a place. Nah, if you like Kevin Durant, you rock with him, no matter if he was on the Brooklyn Nets, whether he was on the Seattle. And that's why I rock with the players over the team. So I wear whatever now.
Yeah.
I wear whatever.
I like that.
That's just how it is. I wear whatever now. I by far have the most Seahawks gear and the most Mariners gear out of all of it. But hell, I can't even wear that everywhere. Some gangs are affiliated with some of them. You can't be in LA wearing Mariners. That's rolling 60s Crips. Like you're asking for trouble.
Yeah.
So I like to be able to switch it up. You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
They ain't got no beef with no Astros.
Nope.
So I wear Astros in LA. We good. So that was Philly, man.
Yeah.
Off the chain.
I'm glad y'all had a good time.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I want to just drop this. Keela wants to organize it and put it out a certain way, but I feel like they aren't. Like potentially they're evergreen. I know it feels fresh to me to be talking to you about last week, but I just think I should just put it out, kind of like a Beyonce album, and let y'all slowly find it. Like the avid podcast listeners will be like, "Yo, this dude has a podcast," and then when it's time to market, we already have this little quiet army that's like, I'm an OG. I've been listening.
Listen to him.
I've been listening since Montreal and Philly.
Why he act like we don't have other projects that are in the works right now that will be put out?
Because you're looking at it like, man, I don't have time.
There's a bandwidth situation.
I get it, but that's why I'm like, all right, Boogie's going to help.
Yeah.
That can be her thing. Just upload this to whatever. Or hell, I can do that.
No, you cannot.
I'm not editing this.
No, you cannot.
Fine, I can't. But I got three nieces that are down to help. There's people that want to help.
All right. You're giving me some new information then.
Yeah.
Let me get the nieces as my interns, and I will get you whatever you need.
There you go.
All right.
So,
hey, ladies.
Look forward to hearing this. Appreciate y'all. Peace.
Bye.